dog that will be here for next week.
All right, we're discussing Dogville. Present are George,
Lenore,
Jane,
Rudy,
Robert,
Ellen,
and Steve,
and Mark.
Dogville. Who would want to live in Dogville?
I saw it on video. Anybody else saw it on video?
I saw it.
You got my message then.
Yeah, I sure did.
Good.
I was glad I did.
Me too.
I mean, it was somewhere. I mean, I go to theaters to see film, you know. And, you know, I like the visual richness of, you know, the seeing it on a screen, but if it's going to be shot like that, might as well see it on a TV. You know?
Yeah. It didn't look so bad on the screen. I was actually surprised when I read that it was shot on digital video. It had a resolution about it. Yeah, it didn't really look that bad.
I would have seen it on grain, that's where I thought it should have been. Well, it was clearly clearing that. I mean, it was so artificial.
Have you ever seen anything that's in that style before? I read that this is not the only one. I'm sure this is not the only one. What I saw was Oklahoma, and it was like a National Theater production from the UK, and it was
just the one with Hugh Jackman.
I don't remember. And the camera, you know, so it's very artificial, just like this, and the camera moves around in a naturalistic way, and it's edited in a way that makes it feel like film. Yet it's, you know, on a stage set, and they're moving around this very artificial set.
For maybe three short acts, I would have liked to have seen Dogville in an all-around arena type of theater. I would have liked it very much then.
As a theater piece,
but not in the stage up there, but surrounding the stage.
An arena stage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you like the subject matter and the way you portrayed it and everything?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still.
I didn't really understand it because I came out of the theater and I thought I liked it. Now I think about it a few days later. Why does he have to always have these women going through such trials?
Yeah.
And,
another big film.
You didn't see it?
Breaking away.
Dancer in the Dark.
I didn't see Dancer.
It's not very good.
That's good.
The Kingdom was another one.
That wonderful miniseries that in Danish TV. I saw it in a film festival. I swear, I went 8 hours in a row or something. It was totally captivating.
I want to know who gives it a hands up.
I can't decide.
It's one of those films I can't say I like it or I dislike it. The best thing I like about him is he pushes the envelope and he makes people think and he makes things open for discussion that normally kind of wouldn't be because of the way he makes film. That's what does it for me with him.
Okay, so let's give the discussion that he opened up. Well,
he pushed me over the edge on this film.
No, but that's funny. You know, they just, yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear if people had some thoughts about this, that supposedly has an allegorical flavor about the United States.
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
I mean, who stood for what? I'd like to know.
Is Dogville supposed to be the United States or not? You know,
But she comes in as an outsider. Right. So she's the United States coming into some small place, you know, versus the United States, she's the United States. I mean, who's the United States?
I think to me, Dogville, I would think is the United States.
Yeah.
And then she coming into the United States, she's the outsider. And how is she treated?
Oh, some people felt that was what it was.
I mean, to me, that's more so.
Like an immigrant but, coming to this country.
You know, he's doing three of these. This is the first one. It's a trilogy. And there's two more of his comments about America.
But the next one was supposed to be also mentioned there by him.
I mean, now he's never been.
Oh, in the video? The DVD's in there?
No. What's his name? The main character? I forgot what it is.
Tom
says, while he's writing and talking to
Grace,
he says, or my trilogy, and he's talking about what he's writing.
Oh, that's
right.
That Tom is the author's mouthpiece
right.
for this? He didn't come off too well either.
I mean, he's so, you keep hearing the word misanthrope, which I think is right, and misogynist. But it didn't, when I saw it, I wasn't thinking misogynist. And then a few days later, all I can think about is, the constant rape and the thing around the neck.
But I didn't feel it. Maybe I'm wrong. But it could have been a person of another gender. I think to me it was the humiliation and the exploitation and so on.
Except for the all these other women.
Yeah, that's
the character. My point is that I didn't feel it like, oh my God, look what he's doing to women. It was more like, look what this group is doing to an outsider.
And I think that's right. I think that's what the intent was. But then you think about Breaking Waves. Did you see that?
Oh,
where the woman becomes a sex slave and and so
and it works. And God shines on that.
I didn't remember. I know. It's sick. Yes.
Totally sick.
Well, if you saw the video at the end, there's an interview of the stars and the director at Tom's. And they asked Lars von Trier, what is it with him humiliating women and subjecting them to all this torture and rape and whatnot? And unfortunately, I can't remember what he answered.
He totally shined it on. He said, well, some people say that, I don't know whether that's, I don't think that's, it's just how you interpret, you know. He would admit that that's exactly, that's what he has portrayed, and that's how many people might.
But he also said that it wouldn't be the same with a man in that position.
Right.
Yeah, which, and then there was really nervous laughter in the audience. Which
no, but, that's, maybe it's the idea of kicking somebody who's already down, it's not.
Yeah.
But what he did, he say anything about the charges of being anti-American, just hating the U.S. and
Come out that he, he'd never been to America, and he supposedly, it's been said that this is about America, and that's the criticism that I heard about this film in two different places, that this was really heavily anti-American and just way over the top anti-American. And I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I didn't.
I thought this could have happened to anywhere in the world. It's set in an American town, and you could see this happen in any society. What I liked about it was that it did bring out the worst in people, and how you can see how people can slowly be that way. Mm-hmm. Here you see these nice people in this nice town having a nice relationship with one another. Times are hard, but they're getting along, and change comes, and how they can change. And it's not the kind of change you see like in disaster movies, like the Poseidon Adventure, where you can see the characters go through an arc over the course of the film. It's more of a pulling out of how they can be, what their possibilities are, either. Well, in this case, it's how bad they can be and how bad they can treat one another. I thought that was
done. And look what happens at the end, though. She turns on them. We don't have to do it quite yet, but I'd like to hear a discussion about what all that stuff was with her and her father and their philosophical.
I couldn't even follow it.
The gist that I pulled out of it was something like. it's condescending to forgive people. And you have to hold them to facing the consequences of their actions. I mean, that's just my.
But he was a complete gangster. I mean, so what I'm saying is,
consider the sword.
Yeah.
The arrogance was the question. Arrogance. How dare you be so arrogant to think that you are so good that you can forgive them?
Yeah.
So that's the arrogance, and they were both arrogant.
To be forgiving,
because you're God, and you say they don't know.
Well, yeah.
Didn't she at first kind of say that she wanted to make the world a better place, and she felt by forgiving them would make the world a better place? And then she vacillated, and then she says, no, I think it would make the world a better place just to get rid of this town.
If there's any town we can live without, it's
just this one.
Let's go back to the allegory.
That gave us a feeling of redemption? Or revenge, when she goes and says, and that woman, Vera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One by one,
her children.
Let her watch.
And if she not cry when she sees her first two kids
die.
Can
I just ask one question?
Sure.
Would you guys mind terribly, terribly to just like give me like a 2-minute synopsis or a 1-minute synopsis of what happened?
A young girl.
She runs away.
Who's escaping gangsters.
Okay.
That's how she is.
She ends up in a town in the Rocky Mountains, and they all take her in, and she agrees to do chores for them because they're going to cover for her and hide her from these gangsters.
Yeah.
And then things turn really bad, and they start taking advantage of her, and they...
Oh,
eventually just abuse her.
There are wanted posters. The police occasionally arrive. By the way, this is set in the 30s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the police
arrive with
a wanted poster. This woman is missing. And then later a second one, she's wanted for robbery.
Mm-hmm.
And she maintains, I think, that she didn't
When they bring the other poster that says she's wanted for robbery, they ask when, and he said within the last few weeks, and she's been there with them,
so they know that isn't quite accurate.
And the whole thing's filmed on the stage. It's almost like a play with no set. The buildings are chalk outlines. Mm-hmm. Even the dog is chalk outline.
But there are some props, and it's done in costumes.
Okay, so then at the end...
But something else about the police coming, I think that was used as the excuse for the turn from being nice to her. Like, suddenly there was
chicken dinner.
Yeah. Personally, I love the style. I love the way it was.
Yeah. I like it. I'm surprised.
I'm so fascinated with
the style. And the way it was more economical that they... now, of course, it's from the stage, but the mine, with the
That sort of faded away. I didn't really mind that after the first half hour.
After the first few minutes, yeah.
I was really in shots when you're watching it where... the camera is right there, you kind of feel like you're in a room anyway. Like you're in a situation where only when it's really panned back and you see there's no walls is it like that. When they focus in on something, when they're in bed or... you don't see
the background's all dark. Mm-hmm. So you just see the faces and people.
And he wrote... on the ground, like place Chuck and Vera's, and whose house was who, where the dog was, and the bench.
And losing my hair, Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
Look at how he named all the children.
They were all mythological.
Yeah.
And Thomas Edison. I mean, that's
One of them. Our greatest people in America.
And that was the writer's name, was Tom Edison.
Well, I was intrigued with the way that it was filmed. It held my interest from beginning to end. And I will say there was one scene which I thought was really brilliant when, unfortunately, Grace was getting raped. And they show that, and everybody else in their houses is going about their business. You know, and then here this horrendous thing is going on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there were no walls between any of the residences, I thought that was pretty good.
That's interesting.
I was really
because clearly there were walls, brilliant. But there weren't. Yeah.
Actually. I mean, but to be able to film that this horrible thing is going on and everybody else is just going about their chores and their business, I thought that was really brilliant.
The other thing you should know is Lawrence Cole was in it.
Mm-hmm.
There were
big names.
Bizarro.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a funny man appears. I think, is it or isn't it this man? I thought he was out of the scene completely. Out of Ben Gazzara.
Yeah. Ben Gazzara, yeah.
And
Lauren Bacall, I mean, you know, I haven't seen her in anything.
I know.
Patricia Clark for a woman.
What?
Patricia Clark for a woman.
Very well.
Don't you think the pictures he showed at the end of the picture
look
like
the
people? That's the picture, yeah.
That's when. Well,
was that the thing?
Some of them looked exactly like the people in the film.
The credits, there are these photos from the
Narcissus. Like James A.G. and Dorothea Lange.
Right, but it totally, like 180 degrees different in style. Where the films in color, these are in black and white. The films are very artificial, these are very naturalistic.
There were actually some color shots there that were taken from a collection of photographs that were done by a European in the Deep South in the mid 80s. The collection was called American Pictures, and it was a very, very good collection. But it really portrayed poor white and poor people in like Georgia and Alabama, and got the reputation that people didn't want this shown in larger art galleries.
Mm-hmm. What year was it then?
This was like the 1980s. It was shown in a little. I saw it in a little. Converted like nightclub basement in the mid 80s, and it was very moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
But it was similar to Dorothea Lange's.
But the photos were taken in the 80s?
It was taken in the 80s, yeah.
Wow. So you think those photos at the end that were supposed to be, these are the people who did this, these are the people
this
who could have done it.
This is what inspired him, maybe? To do what he did with this film, the photos.
Well, it's like poverty in America. Here, let's take the America theme again. America's just this great, powerful, rich country, but there's such poverty within it.
Well, what is the allegory? I need somebody to explain this to me before I pass judgment on this movie.
What's the difference between an allegory and a parable? I kept thinking we're parable, but I don't quite know.
So I think it's a more of a parable in that it doesn't, characters or towns or whatever don't correspond to real historical figures, but the situation corresponds to real emotions, real situations. That's what I think a parable is.
A parable is, and
it has a moral, and I think this obviously does have a message, but I don't think it corresponds exactly Animal Farm corresponds exactly to historical events in the Russian Revolution. I don't think you can say Thomas Edison is George Bush or
Okay, here it is. Parable is usually a short fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. So that's a parable. And what's the other one? Allegory?
Yeah.
So what is the redeeming quality of this movie? I'd like somebody to tell me. Is there any merit to this film?
I can't put my finger on it.
Allegory is an expression by means of symbolic fictional figures and actions of truths or generalizations about human conduct or experience. And that's what it is. Yep. Symbolic representation.
It's a great big metaphor from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in the film that is redeemable, or is everybody just a schmuck?
Huh.
I think the only one who's really true to honest with his behavior and his attitude is James Cobb. to me.
He's just
the
evil one. Well, that's not redeemable.
Well, he's portrayed as being the big evil one, but and I was surprised at their dialogue in the car. He seemed very, very down to earth and very centered, and knew exactly where things stood in the world and where he stood in the world. And I had, the most respect for him as a character than any of the others.
I didn't know he was in it.
What I thought was really interesting about the film is that, you hear the story, like we told the overview to Lenore, and you think, well, that sounds kind of interesting, and I wonder how it could work. And I wondered how it could work before I saw it, because I did hear what it was about, and I wondered how they would get this these innocent kind of backwoods townspeople to change into this exploiting, abusing type thing. And I thought it would, at some point it's going to be artificial and contrived. But the dialogue and the style of the shooting and the progression of the story, it was very believable.
Mm-hmm.
You never said that, that character wouldn't do that, or no, I don't think this would happen. And that's what was really surprising to me about the film, is that it was believable all along.
But maybe that artificial style has helped it be believable, because you can't,
I agree. I think that
that's what.
Yeah.
The contrary.
It would have been wonderful.
Well, it makes you come
in the theater. Three acts.
I think it took the time that it would take if you tried to do that in an hour or 3 hours.
No.
I think it needed to take that 3 hours to get. To go
from
that,
to
point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I make me think of Summer Soul or something. Jean Dielman. Have you ever seen it? It's this Belgian film. It takes forever. It's like known as being a film about women cutting carrots. And it's horrible. But the fact is, after a long time, her routine is breaking down, and her, you see what's happening. And I think, also because it builds up over slow.
What do people think about the device of the narrator?
I thought it was helpful.
I didn't
like that. I didn't like the character.
I'll tell you what. This is the second film in the past couple of years that I think I would probably rather be reading this story.
Really?
Yeah.
Rather what?
You'd be reading it on the screen?
I think you're talking about theater more than...
No, I'd rather be reading it. I'm not saying I didn't like the film yet. I haven't said anything about that. But I think I could have read this and enjoyed it a lot as a story.
And you didn't enjoy the film?
It didn't. No, I didn't say that.
Oh.
What I'm saying is, it suggests that it would have been very enjoyable as a read.
The narration.
As a read.
Yes.
The narration and the dialogue and everything. I would have liked it in the book. Another film I felt that way about is Raising Victor Vargas.
Hmm. One thing in this film, I think he filmed it the way he filmed it, because then you're forced to really concentrate on the characters, because there really isn't too much else. Because everything else is so stark and bleak, you're concentrating on what the relationship and what's going on between all of these characters.
I'm not sure I agree. I'll tell you why. Because when the character is well developed and well acted, we never lose the character in any other kind of film. You know what I mean? I think it's just a special effect, a special mood, and it's always gray. Always gray. And they're all surrounded by gray. On a good day, it was white. It wasn't even blue. Remember?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful day that day, in spring or summer or something.
Yeah, white light.
Just white light.
Jane, about the narrative?
Yeah.
I thought it, also, yet another contrast. It was, it's supposed to be somewhere in the United States. And yet this voice, so British.
Yeah.
Voice comes from afar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So what's the narrative? Is it a voice of God, or voice of judgment? Or?
Yeah, wasn't Aries playing you? Was he harder, like, judging what's happening?
Nothing really. He just goes with...
But the style of the narration is kind of like a fairy tale, kind of. You know, like a child's fairy tale. Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah, they're mugs in there.
Yeah, wasn't judging her.
No, but it's kind of... like as a father would tell a child, a bedtime story. You know, that's the kind of feel.
Although
of
rather
the tone of the narration, yeah.
It's not like the diction isn't like a child's story.
No, but what I'm saying is that the words in the narration and the way it was delivered is kind of like. You're somewhere and somebody's reading you a story.
I think it's more like the diction you get sometimes in a 19th century novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
George Eliot mm-hmm. or whatever, that narrative voice who says, and then this and this and mm-hmm. and they sort of mm-hmm. step up and explain and almost mm-hmm. analyze sometimes mm-hmm. what's going on, and then you step back into the story.
I think that's right.
So did you decide whether you liked it or not? You don't know yet.
I would recommend it to a couple of people I know. Mm-hmm. I would say see it, whether you will guarantee it.
I've told people see it so we can talk about it.
Okay, I mean, it's interesting.
It's provocative.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's provocative. And yeah, you think, why does he support these women through such hell? Why is it always women? Because even Dancer in the Dark. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was...
What happened to her?
Right.
Killed her. At least in this movie, she got revenge.
She's not blind.
But she was
going blind.
She's going blind.
Oh, no,
she's
going blind.
She's going blind.
She was raising money, though, because the son had the same disease she had. Yeah, she was
going blind.
No, she wasn't blind, but she was going blind gradually.
Okay. Okay, she's losing her sight, because the point where she kills the guy, the sight is an issue by that point.
Well, that's Catherine Deneuve had to help her at work all the time.
She's basically forced to kill this guy. He demands that she kills him, and she doesn't want to do it. And so it's just long, drawn out, horrible, just, ugh,
you know, the character of Grace, in the end, it seems as though...
Oh, well, okay, well, we're already... Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Somehow she's the mother of justice, or she's
what?
God, or she is
okay.
just a human being who can be as bad as they are. She's no better than they are.
You know, I didn't see her.
You know, there's something else about the death penalty. The death penalty. Wasn't that supposed to be the thing about? Dancer in the Dark, and I don't remember it well enough, but I read it.
It does enter in this.
And so, you know, there is this, I agree with this European attitude of being appalled that we still have the death penalty, and maybe that's part of the thing here too, in Dogville, that, you know,
it could
just
be.
To mete out such punishment. Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. She has her father.
She kills them all.
Oh, wow.
Her father
kills them all.
She kills them all.
Yeah.
Remember?
But she let him do it. She gave the word. She got the power. She decided. She did away with the whole
town.
Exactly.
And she does that thing.
Burned
it
down and killed everybody.
She got revenge, almost eye for an eye on this
woman. Eye for an eye. Two eyes for one.
The mother who had smashed her precious figurines and said, if you don't cry when I smash first two, I'm smashing more. But she wept. And then this woman, Grace, has it done, but with real children.
But Grace was being punished. Lenore. Grace was being punished by this woman, the mother of the seven children, because she discovered that her husband was
forcing Grace to have sex with.
Well, did she know that?
No. What I'm saying is the fact is that he was raping her, and she found out in her own way and interpreted her as a whore.
Right.
Whatever.
She thought it was sex.
But the other one was being abused right and left. right and left.
No, I can't. Everybody abuses everybody.
I'll send you 10 copies.
Wait.
I have an allegory that I've been thinking about lately with current events, and it has to do with how people who have been wronged get retribution, like Grace did in the end. And I've been thinking about those soldiers who did those things to those Iraqi prisoners and what their mindset was when they did that. And I can't help but think that in their minds they're hearing George Bush equating the Iraqis with the people who went into the 9/11 towers, and thinking that when they're doing those things to those prisoners, they're thinking payback, when it's always they weren't connected, and yet now they're being punished for their belief in their leaders' rhetoric.
There's human decency involved here, whether your leader tells you to do that or not.
Right. And even if they were connected, whether it's right to do that, whether that kind of payback is right. And here we have in this film where, she went through all of this humiliation, and every single person in that village took part in it and knew exactly what they were doing. And is it right? Is it justified?
But by getting back at them, she becomes this bad or worse. And I think the idea about the death penalty.
There was one life spared.
Who's
the dog?
Somebody
will come find
him. The next sequel.
Well, how did
she took his boat?
They killed Tom.
She took his boat.
It's all about her, Grace.
But Tom was the one who was writing. He's the one who referred to the trilogy.
No, it goes on with Grace's life story.
There's something ironic about her name, too.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure all the names are symbolic.
Yeah.
Can't ignore it. State of Grace. Grace of God.
Vera, the truth.
Vera is the truth. Chuck is.
Well, I just want to say that I was with this movie from beginning to almost the end. I went along with it, and the fact that she was so debased in this movie about this is getting worse and worse, but I'm going to hang in there. And then at the end, when they ordered the execution of all Dogville and they shot the children and the baby, when they pointed the gun at the baby, I lost it right there. There's no excuse for this. It was not entertaining, enlightening, or educating.
What does it mean in terms of the movie?
Is it an eye for an eye? That's what I got out of it.
I don't know.
If there was one innocent person in all of Dogville, it was the baby. And maybe the children, even they were badly behaved.
And the dog.
And they killed him. Why? There was no.
To make her the mother,
To
make them punish the mother.
But that
there was the mother.
I see that. That was so wrong for me. It just ruined the movie for me.
Yeah,
it was over. I lost it right there.
When people kill, they do it. They don't know the other person. They make sure that they don't feel the other person is a human being. The other person is a figurine. And that's basically, I think that made that connection where that's what the figurines were all about, that it wasn't, they were people who were not, were turned into something that's less than human.
So what am I supposed to feel for Grace after this? I decided that's it for me, no more Lars von Trier. He's out of here.
Remember one thing about the figurines? The narrator is saying she came and she admired the figurines. When a week before coming to this, she would have said, ugh.
Like they were.
They were, ugh. And then they were her most treasured little items.
Well, I have another question. Just tell me to shut up if you don't.
Okay, shut up.
That one word.
I know.
Are you planning on seeing the movie or
no?
I guess what I hear, and I'm just curious about how you guys felt about it, is there was nobody in this whole town who went against the...
Well, Tom,
well, I mean, usually there's at least somebody, even if it's a tiny minority or one person, who will oppose this kind of...
Well, one of them held out the longest.
Okay.
Who was that?
Tom, until a certain point, and then he called the police.
Well, that's how could he go along with right. her? Yeah.
That's right. She was sleeping with everybody.
She was raped by everybody in town,
and finally Tom more or less says, well, if everybody else is getting a piece of
right.
you, I want...
They were in love.
But this time they were supposedly in love.
If he had any feelings for her, why would he have allowed that to go on in the first place?
I don't know.
So he did not stand up for her at all.
Well, at first he didn't know what was happening. I don't think he knew Ben, that apple orchard guy was...
That's why they were no walls there, but he knew everything.
So they were supposedly in love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's the one who first rescues her.
No, he doesn't rape her, but he does call the police.
On her?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the one who turns her in.
He calls the father. And he doesn't know it's his father.
Why does he call him?
Because they want to get rid of her, put out.
Okay. So he's calling to get her in trouble.
Did anybody know it? Or see it coming that she was the daughter of the gangster?
No.
No,
okay.
No, I thought it was a girlfriend. So
what's the meaning of that?
Because
at the beginning she's running away from the gangsters and she's being shot at.
What
so you figure something went wrong somewhere, but at the end it turns out she's the daughter
and
of the main gangster.
You hear the gunshot. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean they were shooting at her. I thought she was she wanted to get away from that lifestyle, and so she ran off, and the lifestyle with the shooting was what she wanted to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were necessarily shooting at her.
I think it's intentionally so. You don't know about whether, you know, she's running away. You don't know why. You don't know whether maybe she was a gangster.
Or she was the one doing the shooting. You don't know any of that.
You can't know. So Tom didn't know either when he called her father. He didn't know that it was her father.
Right.
He just knew she didn't want to.
Right.
Why did she submit to all of the abuse in that town?
I know why.
If she wasn't afraid of being turned over, you know, why didn't she just say turn me over? You know, if she wasn't afraid for her life or afraid of the consequences, what was she afraid of? If she was willing to go through all of that.
Hmm. I know why.
Okay,
because the fire shots were fake. The shots were fake, and the father knew she was going in there. And the father knew she was going to live with these poor folk, in this teeny little town.
So they just
and she puts up with everything. And she, do you remember Katharine Hepburn in a film where she becomes an actress without knowing how to act? Well, she challenged her father that she would do good there. And then he comes back and rescues her. And then she says, fuck him.
But wait, he didn't come back to rescue her, he was called.
Yeah, but why did it take 5 days? Remember it took 5 days for him to show up after he called?
What?
Remember it took 5 days for him to show up? Why would it take him 5 days to show up?
I don't know why you're saying that.
Well, why did she be so nonchalant about everything and just let everybody do whatever they did? She could have walked away. She never did.
Well, she did try to go away and
they
got her back.
Right.
But I think the
father was too sure that they were having a dialogue like, I told you. Like, this is, we discussed. You're arrogant. No, you're arrogant. No, we're both arrogant.
Mm-hmm. I think
shoot them all.
I think you're right, Rudy, that she had the idea that that mankind is innately good and that her father's world was wrong for that reason, and that she was there to prove that no matter how bad things got with the depression or with circumstances, that, you know, she was willing to see how bad things got, see if she puts herself in a situation where she gives these townspeople the idea that she's afraid and she's at their mercy, see how bad it could get.
Like a test, huh?
Yeah, right. Almost like Sodom and Gomorrah, where the angel was sent to Sodom to see if he could find 10 people that...
10 honest people.
10 honest people. And if he couldn't, the city was destroyed, and that's what happened. It's almost like she was like...
Big allegory.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's a Christian allegory. Sorry.
Probably.
Christian? Because of the forgiveness thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
coming in to see if they are redeemable.
Right. And her name is Grace.
My father is a minister. What
yeah.
Is
yeah. So it's not...
Yeah.
Maybe
there's that.
Lutheran.
I think it has that flavor.
Yeah. Because in the end, they're too... She's too much at peace and kind of angry because he's there, but because she has to face up to him, to her father. Finally, she has to admit...
You were right. You were right.
And she's wondering, well, if I'm going to get all this money, they talk about money or just power?
Power.
When can I get that power? Right now? At once? Okay. The sword. All down. Okay. And then you go.
I got to say that while she was being more and more abused and more, you know, it was pretty painful, and it was like, why is she taking this? There must be a way to get out of this. Well, that's
I totally agree.
That's the metaphor.
And then when she decides to have everybody killed, it didn't bother me all that much. I thought they deserved it until the baby. You're right. Until the very end. And then I thought, this is too much. You know, this doesn't...
Well, how many people found the film disturbing or upsetting?
Oh,
it took me 3 hours to recover from this movie.
Oh, okay.
It really bummed me out for 3 hours. And then I found my happy face again.
It made me wonder and think and feel disturbed about something.
Obviously, there's a lot there.
See, those kind of movies turn me off. I don't like to come out feeling disturbed or upset.
But that's good.
No, it isn't.
I think it is.
Well, what's the point?
It makes you think. It might change your views about something.
Did anybody here read
A Fine Balance novel? No?
Okay. Who's that by?
Mystery. It's an Indian man living in Canada.
Rowington?
No. Okay. No point. A woman I gave it to said to me, I can't put it down. I have to go home and go on and read. And at the end, she said, "It's so horrible. I can't suggest this to my group." I said, "What are you talking about? But you love the book. It's well written. It's a good story. It's about India, historical fiction.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's a big story.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Mystery. Yes.
Rowington Mystery.
Yes. I read his second book.
Oh, Family Matters.
Yes, great.
Yeah, I read that.
Great.
But what did you like so much about Breaking the Waves? Because that's very disturbing.
Yeah.
And you really like that film.
You liked that she went to heaven.
I did.
Yep.
What's that?
I think you liked that she went to heaven.
I identified with her in that I could see where she was coming from and what she was all about.
Wow.
I could see what she was doing. Whether it was right or wrong, I could see where she was coming from. So... And I was very sympathetic to her.
And you were to Grace until the end, when she...
Until the end, yeah.
Was it just the baby, or it was everybody?
That point right there, where she killed the baby and the other kids, that's just... I would have walked out at that point.
See, I remember that the kids had tormented her.
Yeah, but they're children.
I know, but they're symbolic.
You don't kill children or babies.
So what's the allegory?
The baby.
That's what I want to know. What's the redeeming point of this movie?
There's none. For you and for other people.
Thanks for clearing that up.
No, but is it supposed to be a commentary?
I want to have more. Why not?
No, I don't think.
Human nature.
Human nature. Michael LaSalle, the Chronicle Reviewer, said that it was commentary on the U.S.
I think he focuses on.
He didn't explain it in the article. No, not at all.
Yeah, we're the biggest, we're the most powerful. good targets.
No, well, I think it's appropriate now, considering, you know, the war and you know the reasons for war and you know whatever you know Bush has said about weapons of mass destruction. That war was about payback.
Yeah,
the men who fought that war, the men who are you know who abused prisoners. It's about payback. You know,
this film was finished a year ago. I wonder when
did you buy it?
No.
I'm not saying it's designed for that, but it's appropriate for
thank you.
The world as it is today, and about what man does to man in the name of you know how bad man can be, you know, towards his neighbor. And it's not the kind of thing like, you know, the Holocaust, that kind of, you know, how bad we can make it, these people do, these people, it's how one person can change in respect to another person, not one person in respect to a people. But it still gets at the point that everybody has that capacity to do evil.
Evil.
Yeah.
Because coming back to that question about herself testing herself and her father and all that. In the end, she is no Christ, and she is just human, and she wants to do what every other human might do in her situation, is just get even, like you said. She's the daughter of a gangster, not the daughter of God.
The one thing I didn't like. The one thing I didn't like about that scene, though, is I didn't see her taking pleasure in the revenge.
No.
Even when she shot Tom, I didn't see her taking pleasure, which would have justified your and my interpretation of her. You know, that's the reason why she did that, because it's, you know, it's revenge and revenge is sweet. But I didn't see that, and that's curious to me.
She's cleaning the world, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, She says it.
The world would be a better place
without God.
Right.
She may not have gotten pleasure, but she got satisfaction.
But see, that's a really interesting notion. It's a little bit contradictory, because it's like if this is a statement about humanity and that this is how people are, but then to say, oh, better off without this town suggests that it's not emblematic of everybody, it's just this one bad town.
Or that we're better off, you know, destroying the human race. I mean, he's totally misanthropic, isn't he?
How many people are planning on seeing the parts 2 and 3?
For sure.
I think that a good, really good art often disturbs and even leaves you somewhat disturbed at the end, or not quite. I mean, when there's a totally unsatisfying ending, like there was that movie where a plane arrives at the end and
Limbo,
right, and you literally don't know who's in it or what's going to happen. That was true. That made me feel ripped off. But this didn't. This just left me puzzled and like
thinking,
what is going on?
Yeah.
Who said what about
That's a great listening you guys talked about.
I think after seeing these three films of his, I think he really needs help. I really do.
The same other one to say that the style of the, you know, the theater set with the cameras. When I had seen this Oklahoma, my friend was coming from Rome, and I told her I was so amazed at the style. I'd never seen it before, and she said it's not unusual in like Italian television to take a play and make it with this naturalistic camera.
On stage.
Yeah.
In fact, I wonder if there's. I don't think he's very familiar with Our Town, but it might be an interesting comparison.
I think critics have noticed that too.
Because there's a narrator in that too. Come to think of it, more folksy, but there's a narrator and it's very bare.
Small
town America. Life and death go on there, and the meaning of.
Getting back to George. There are films that I see that I immediately say, this is not for George. This is one of them. I know that. Really, I do.
Well, I voted for this film because I like this first movie. Uh-huh. Well, the first one I saw. Go on.
If it's dreary, if it's down, if it's dark, if it's unhappy, you usually don't watch them. Generally.
Did you see
Am I right?
Did you see Monster?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Well, I thought it was really good.
I know, that's really dark.
A monster. Oh, I thought it was a knockout.
Yeah,
a knockout.
That is
touching
really scary.
No, but he looks for, he needs motivation.
You know what I don't like?
He needs the motivation for what's going on in a movie.
Yeah.
If he has to figure it out for himself or make decisions for himself about it, I think he has more trouble with
it. No, that's not the case.
Then,
listen, if it's a movie where people get away with murder, like in the bedroom.
Mystic River,
exactly. That was the other one I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. That really just puts me over the top, where I totally dislike the film. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but in this one, the town gets what it deserves.
No, the children didn't deserve that.
Except for the children.
Well, there's no exception. They're dead.
I mean, that ruined the whole thing for you.
It did. It did. I mean, I was with Grace all the way.
If she would have left the children, then what? She would have taken with her? Everyone?
To me, it was like...
I'm going back to the capital punishment thing. I don't care. I don't think they deserved it. They were horrible.
To me, the allegory is... The allegory to me is I can compare it to Palestine and Israel. You know, I'm going to kill you, you kill me. Yeah. It keeps going back and forth, and this is what Grace did. There's no end to it.
Uh-huh.
An eye for
exactly.
an eye.
That's it.
What's the point?
You know, another thing it can allude to is revolution.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she wipes out the evil, sort of, if it's, she's an immigrant, if that's the allegory, then she turns on the exploiting class. Mm. I'm just saying that that's another theme in there, maybe.
So that's the way I see it.
Okay.
Well, my interest is teeth by the discussion, but I just put on pink to take it.
Yeah, it's not for you.
It's not
either.
What I'm going to say when you
yes,
said that.
It's not
you have certain films that are not for the North. You don't need
to. See, this is why I bowed out on the second film they're about to talk out. I knew it wasn't going to be for me.
But that Spring Film, I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah.
Even though I won't be here on Memorial Day, I'll try to.
I think we should move on to the next, but we'll never get it.